sufferings at this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom.
Did anyone here this morning woke up at 6 o'clock this morning and watched the championship game for the World Cup? Anybody here? I'm the only person. We had one. All right. So is anybody here going to watch it later on? Okay, good. Anybody? Because it was an amazing game. It was one of the greatest finals that I've ever seen in World Cup soccer. And I know a lot of you go, soccer, that's not an American sport. But I tell you, it is very, very exciting. So I just want you to go ahead and if you get a chance to watch it. And I won't tell you who won, but my team won. Oh, my goodness. So I want you to know that I love winter. I've always loved winter. And when I'm down in Florida or when I'm down in Pennsylvania, and I tell people, I truly love winter. You know, anytime the snow comes out, that first snowfall, I stop my day and I'm outside and I'm just enjoying the snow coming down. It is a beautiful feeling. There is a quietness. There is a sense of beauty that happens. Now, we know what happens when the leaves fall off. The trees are bare, the grass is green, and it looks kind of blah. In fact, that's why I love snow. What it does, it covers all of that. In fact, when snow fills the trees when the trees are filled with snow, I would just drive and just look at these trees and just see the beauty of that snow covering those trees and covering a blanket of whiteness out on the farmlands. I love it. But I know this, that I love winter, but I don't want winter all the time. There is a point after we have enjoyed the snow, we enjoyed the winter and Christmas, and we get into that cold part of February and January, we are waiting for spring. It is something we are looking for. It's a time of renewal. And here, as well as in Pennsylvania, when spring comes, it's one of the most prettiest times you've ever seen. The green comes out. We have so many different shades of greens down in Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania, as well as blossoms of so many different colors. It is something to look forward to it. So this morning, we'll be looking at this concept of always winter and never Christmas. That is what the world was experiencing for many, many, many years. And we, you know, again, Advent is that period of preparation. We are preparing our hearts for that wonderful day next Sunday, Christmas Day. And I hope that you join us, please, for Christmas Eve. It's one of the best times of the year. It's been a tradition for my life for I don't know how many years. I love the candles. I love the carols. It is just, and we have a trio this year that's going to sing Holy Night. And I'm excited about them singing it. So please join us for Christmas Eve. C.S. Lewis had a profound insight. As a matter of fact, he is one of the greatest apologists, Christian apologists, that we've ever had in our Christian world. And I don't know if you ever read anything from C.S. Lewis, but again, he is very profound in a way that he's able to describe Christianity. He was so good to be, he was able to get out into the world, the real world, like in college students, and explain Christianity and also debate against the philosophies of the world. He was so good at it, but also he helped us kind of, again, for a lot of people in England that was losing that sight, their soul in any ways, he brought in this amazing series of book called The Chronicles of Narnia. And one of those Chronicles of Narnia was The Witch, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And he uses that as a way to describe the world's scene, the world's predicament, this idea that it's always winter and never Christmas. And again, Romans 8 brings this out pretty clear. Let me go ahead and read that and break it apart for you. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The world was filled with sin, the curses that came from the garden. And people were suffering. They're looking for answers. They were looking for purpose. Even at the time of Jesus, they were struggling with all the stuff that was happening. The Jewish religion was not giving them what they were looking for, an amazing unconditional love, something that would give them purpose and joy, and it was robbed from them. And here it is. Paul reminds us that this our world has been waiting for this grand event, because this event was going to loose us, free us from this winter condition that has such a stronghold on us. So we have this anticipation, and you know what? To me, it's almost like waiting for Christmas gifts. When I was younger, I could not wait to receive a gift. Who's waiting for gifts? I love gifts. You know, and we used to walk around the house, and we would try to find our gifts. You know, my brothers would do that. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to wait on Christmas Day. There's something about opening that gift and anticipating that gift, and the world has that same type of spirit, anticipating this amazing gift that was promised to them through the Messiah. So we go on with this passage. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. He's describing the world, and people knew what the world felt like. There was this sense of growing. There was this sense of anticipation. And I think that one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life was to witness my children coming into the world. You know, and I'm so grateful that, you know, my dad was never able to be doing that. He had to wait in the waiting room. But, you know, now you can come in and witness that wonderful experience. But the one thing also I witnessed that really bothered me a lot was my wife's suffering. When she was in labor, it was really, really hard for me to watch her. And to see her in that much pain, you know, and all we're doing is we're waiting for that little guy, that little girl to come up, because it was causing so much pain for Cynthia. Again, that anticipation, right in the midst of that suffering, in the midst of that labor, we're looking for the gift, that beautiful gift that brings in everything that we wanted as parents, a child. In the same way, we see this from Scripture. We see that people are waiting, been waiting for so long for this Messiah, for Jesus Christ to come into the world. In 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Again, he's talking about describing this beautiful, beautiful concept of people in their lives struggling with winter, and there is a hope. There is an opportunity for winter to be released from them and have a renewal through Jesus Christ. And this is why this passage is so powerful, because it does, it describes us to us the gift, the beautiful gift that God has given us. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That is his reason why. He loved the world so greatly, he wanted to bring this child to redeem us. I think you heard this before, but Jesus had this great mission here, and that is to bring us back to the Father. We heard about it. You know, he'd done some great miracles. He's done some great teachings. But his desire was to make that bridge back to us so that we can be adopted sons and daughters. Because we groan for that. We're missing that in our life. We miss that connection, that intimate connection that we should have with our Father in heaven. And so we're groaning. We're waiting for that. That's the winter season. Most of us here, maybe all of us here, have experienced what it means to have a renewal in your heart and your life. But there was a time where you were looking for those answers. You were looking for that renewal. You know, winter was grasping you and hanging on to you, but suddenly God brings Christ into your life, and you have this amazing Christmas, this amazing renewal. So this theme, it's just a very short sermon this morning. This theme is winters need Christmas. Winters need Christmas. This world needs Christmas. Now, I love watching Christmas music. I know all of us here have our go-tos. And here's a couple go-to movies that I love watching. One, I love watching, I have to watch these movies every Christmas. These are my go-to. White Christmas. That is a very special Christmas for my family. My dad and my mom used to watch it, and they had me sit down with them. And so there's a lot of great feelings attached to that. And I love that. There's a new movie that came out. And maybe, who has seen the movie called Claus? Who has not seen it? It's really a decent movie. Very good movie. I want you to go ahead and watch it. I really like the concept. Another one, and I have to give sort of a insight, I like National Lampoon's. That crazy Christmas and all the things they go through just to try to make Christmas right. And I think a lot of times we can relate to that. How many times we try to make Christmas right, you know, and it just doesn't work that way. And again, my go-to, Charlie Brown Christmas. There's something about that movie, 30 minutes of watching an animation about Charlie Brown. It just, again, always warms my heart. But the one movie that is our favorite for our family, and we have this neat contract, this pact, that we would not watch this movie unless we're all together as a family. And I asked my family to watch this movie without me, okay? I gave them permission. I said, this year when you get together at Renee's place, watch this movie because this is our movie. This is our movie as a family, The Muppets Christmas Carol. Isn't that a great movie? Matter of fact, the movie is a lot like what C.S. Lewis trying to bring out. It was this man who lived in winter. He is Scrooge who lived in winter, was greedy, and he had lived a miserable life. And he was about to lose it. But God gave him another chance to be renewed. And this year, I put another movie on my list, and it's The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. Because it really speaks to so many themes that we believe in Scripture. I think, who has never seen this movie or has never read the book? Okay, I would encourage you to watch the movie or read the book. Again, C.S. Lewis is so good at helping us to see things, especially when it comes to understanding Jesus Christ. And all it is these four little kids that go into this closet, and when they went into the closet, they go out into this winter land. And out there, they're experiencing winter, which is really crazy. They go from one place to another place. They're experiencing winter, but also they're experiencing the curse, the spell of the white witch. The white witch that just turns everything into winter and no Christmas. Again, he brings this out. And he brings the fact that this witch is very deceptive, very beautiful, but also very deceiving. And again, C.S. Lewis was trying to describe Satan, and how he has this curse, this hold on this world. And how Aslan came in because of those curses. Now, we know how true those curses are. We live with those curses. when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, he made it very clear, here are three curses, three people that are going to be cursed. One is for the serpent who was doomed to be hated, and he'll crawl on his belly. The woman will have pain in his childbirth and have to deal with imperfect relationships with men. The men will have to work and earn a living to the sweat of the brow, and also we will all go back to dust. Again, this is the curse. It was never God's plan. And that those curses still plague us. Those curses still come in our lives, and God wants us to be removed from those curses. And again, through the help of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, we understand how God brings life to us and blessings that helps us to be released from these curses. But again, it's just a beautiful picture, the idea of how Christ came into the world and released us from winter, from all the terrible things out there. And we do. We live in two different worlds. We live in the kingdom of God, and then there's the world out there. And that world out there is still living in winter. They need Christmas. They need Christmas. They're looking for Christmas. I don't know if you know it, but one of the most popular holidays in Japan is Christmas. But they don't celebrate Christ. They celebrate the season of Christmas, all the trappings, everything that they're trying to get through hope and love and celebration. They celebrate Christmas without Christ. That, to me, is weird. That, to me, is sad. And God has called all of us here to share that story. Right now, this is a great time for us to get with our neighbors, to get with our friends, to get with our relatives, and share the story with them. We know what the story feels like. We know what Christmas did to us. So God has called us, and is calling us this morning, is to take the story of Christmas, look for opportunities to share that story, because people out there, they're looking for Christmas in the midst of their winterness. And also, we struggle sometimes with winter. We find ourselves sometimes allowing winter to come back to us, and we find ourselves, you know, struggling with suffering, struggling with sin, struggling with something that pulls us away from God's presence, away from the joy that God wants us to have. God wants us to reminds us that we are loved by Him dearly. He doesn't want that coldness of Christmas come into our life, but instead to be released from that, to receive the forgiveness that comes from the Christ child. So this morning I'm asking you this. Is there anybody here that has never, ever experienced Christmas before? Never experienced that beautiful gift of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you've never done it, this is the opportunity for you to do it. God wants you to be released from winter, from the terrible sins of the world, and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done it, this is an opportunity to do it right now. If there's anybody here struggling with sin, something that is hanging on to you, something that keeps pulling you away, whatever addiction, whatever that is pulling you away from truly experiencing God's love and God's joy, God wants you to know and wants us to know that He loves us dearly. He loves us dearly in the midst of all of that, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of our failures, in the midst of that sinfulness. He wants us to know that He loves us and loves us, and all He wants us to do is turn back to Him and receive the gift of mercy and the gift of forgiveness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I pray if there's anybody here that has not ever experienced Christmas in the way that You intended us to feel and experience, I pray that they'll just surrender to Your love, surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and allow for them to be the sons and daughters that You truly want them to be. So I pray for that. And I pray for all those that are struggling with some type of sin, some type of stronghold in their life, that God, first of all, they need to know that, we need to know that we can't be released from this without Your strength and without Your help. Help us, God. Help us to turn to You and receive that strength to know through the Holy Spirit has helped us to release ourselves from that sinfulness and receive the mercy that You want us to receive. Father, we hear the story of how You love us so dearly. And Father, if there's anybody in our life right now that we have a difficult time forgiving, help us, God, to forgive that person too. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.